Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. As we bring to a conclusion yet another week, don't you feel we are speeding through these weeks? Wow! At the end of this week, let's pick up where we left off last time and in Genesis 14. In the War of the Kings, let's again ask our who question. Who are these kings? I hope you were with us yesterday as we talked about the four kings from the north, northeast, and emphasized two of them in particular because they came from Babylon, written as Shinar in this chapter, and Persia, known as Elam in this chapter. Babylon and Persia are two significant empires thriving at the time of the events of the Hebrew Bible, what we call the Old Testament. Amraphel is the king of Shinar. Shinar is Babylon. And Kedorlaomer is king of Elam. Elam is later Persia. As a follow-up, and before we get into the meat of today's episode of God Is, let me just add three things. First, there are those who think that Amraphel was Hammurabi. Hammurabi was the great king of Babylon that we know so much about today. But it is now believed that Amraphel was not Hammurabi. Hammurabi does not come along until later. Second, those of you listening who know ancient history will have a question. How could the king of what was Babylon and the king of what became Persia have had this alliance when they were otherwise rivals? Actually, they were bitter rivals. Well, it seems to me the answer to this question is simple. All throughout history, up until the present, there are two countries that are bitter enemies, but under certain circumstances, the two will work together if it means that by joining forces, they take action that helps them both. For example, they could have a common enemy that they want to take out, hence a short partnership to accomplish a specific goal. Once the goal is achieved, the rivalry resumes. And the third thing I want to say, bridging yesterday to today, is that when we read about these kings making war, that does not mean that each king personally took to the battlefield. It is likely the king's military were the ones responsible for planning and implementation. Just like today, Russia is the aggressor in the war with Ukraine. That does not mean Vladimir Putin himself takes to the battle. Rather, he is like the king at war, sitting back in the comforts of his palace in Moscow as the heads of the Russian military go off to do combat. Dr. Aldares comments, quote, "We need not picture this as though the kings personally led this expedition. They undoubtedly entrusted this to military leaders who were under their orders. Ancient accounts of military victories customarily were written as though the kings themselves were present on the field of battle, leading their victorious armies." That is a helpful insight from the good theologian on his commentary on Genesis, and we will hear from him again shortly. Okay, let's return now to the Bible and continue to identify who these kings are, or were. And I will read Genesis 14, verse 2, which identifies the five kings of the south. It is the four kings of the north versus the five kings of the south, and now let's meet them. Genesis 14, verse 2. They, the kings of the north, made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Birsha, king of Gomorrah, Shinev, king of Admah, and Shemavar, king of Zevoim, and the king of Bela, that is Zoar. These five kings are allied together. I think it is both fascinating and instructive to listen again to Charles Aldares as he writes about the names of these five kings. Quoting him again now, we can establish that these names have a genuine Palestinian character. On the basis of the Arabic language, the name Berra, king of Sodom, can be interpreted as conqueror. Birsha, king of Gomorrah, as large man. Shinev, king of Admah, as health, or beauty, or as sin, the moon god, is father. Shemaver, king of Zeboim, as his name is mighty. End of the quotation of the meaning of these names. Conqueror, a large man, health, or beauty, or the moon god is father, and his name is mighty. If you know anything about the pride of kings, this is not hard to believe. And notice that the king of Bela, Zoar, is not mentioned by name. Moses must have a reason for leaving his name off the list, and I suspect this is why. He wants to show the so-called later intelligent skeptic that these names are not fantasy. If the names of these kings are all made up to fit a fictional tale that the Bible is spinning together, as the skeptic says, well then, why not give the king of Bela a fantastical name as well? Friends, this is not make-believe. These are not made-up names. Moses is writing non-fiction, not fiction. All right, are you with me? I am not boring you, am I? It is not such a bad thing to ask, what does this have to do with me? Why should I care about this? You might even have those questions about now, and for now, I would simply say, you should care because this is the very word of God. And every sentence, every word matters. God thinks so. Otherwise, he would not have told us about these kings and this war. And since my purpose is to teach the scripture, that is what I am doing. We seek understanding, and not always about what is easier to grasp or more immediately applicable to our lives from the Bible. Often we need to systematically and carefully make our way through passages that are harder for our modern eyes and minds to grasp, and that take time. So let's stick with our who question and drop down to another set of names. These are not the names of kings, but the names of people groups the four kings of the north conquered on their way to the great battle. If you have your Bible with you, join me in verses 5 through 7 of this 14th chapter of Genesis. In the 14th year of Kedorlaomer and the kings that were with him, they came and defeated the Raphaim in Ashtaroth-Karnaim, and the Zuzim in Ham, and the Amim in Sheveh-Kir-Iah, and the Hori in their Mount Seir, as far as El Paran, which is by the wilderness. Then they turned back and came to Ain, that is Kadesh, and conquered all the country of the Amalekites and also the Amorites, who lived in Hatatzon, Tamar. Continuing with what is fascinating and instructive, let's learn what these names mean. And for this, we turn to another friend, Henry M. Morris, and his ever-insightful and easy-to-read book, The Genesis Record, a scientific and devotional commentary on the Book of Beginnings. About these people groups, he writes, quote, "The Zuzim are probably the same as the Zamzumim in Deuteronomy 2:20, who are said to have been giants, a people great and mighty and tall. The same description was applied to the Amim in Deuteronomy 2:10, whose name meant the terrible ones. The Raphai, strong ones, and the Zamzumim, powerful ones, were possibly tribes of Anaki, giants." End quote. Ah, so the kings of the north have come up against tall people, giants, strong ones, terrible ones, and powerful ones, and the kings of the north, northeast, led by Kador Lao Omer, won. Now that ought to tell us something about how fierce, battle-ready, and powerful these four kings of the north and their militaries are. The five kings of the south better watch out. Just before I leave you for the weekend, I want to point out a connection in the Bible between the Raphaei and Satanism, evil, and the occult. And this is because this word for Raphaei is very closely associated with the word that describes the spirits of wicked dead people in the books of Job, Proverbs, and Isaiah. Let me give you a few more scriptures to read in this regard. Read Job 26, verse 5, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 18, Proverbs chapter 9, verse 18, and Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 16. And then you can go over to Isaiah and read chapter 14, verse 9, and chapter 26, verse 14. When you do, you will read of the dead. Those are the wicked dead, and a very similar word to Raphaei is the word used in those texts. Let me pronounce it, Rapha. You say, that sounds like Raphaei. Exactly. That is my point. What we have here in Genesis 14 are evil people who at this time coexist in the land of Canaan with Abram. Those texts for the weekend reading are, again, Job 26, verse 5, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 18, chapter 9, verse 18, and chapter 21, verse 16, and then Isaiah chapter 14, verse 9, and chapter 26, verse 14. We are dealing with our who question in Genesis 14, and all of this is setting the stage for a war that affects Abram and his nephew Lot. I hope that you've been following along closely and learning, and we will continue with the first war that is recorded in the Bible when you come along and join us again on Monday, Lord willing, for God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.